Hi, I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend some time catching up. We share something we've really enjoyed recently, whether it's a book, a TV show, or something else. And then we go on to discuss a topic that we think is really relevant to the things that are going on right now and that a lot of people might be thinking about but aren't always having the conversation about. Don't forget to hit subscribe if you enjoy this episode and also get in touch with us because we love to know your thoughts on all of the things that we discuss. I must caveat this episode with apologies for the echo because I can hear it now and I couldn't a minute ago, but I'm in moving hell, so there's not a lot I can do, I'm afraid.
I mean, I'm also in a very echoey new apartment and I have to sit in a certain position to be close to the router. So, all in all, apologies for any sound issues you hear in this episode.
It's very high tech, but how is Vietnam?
It is amazing. It is overwhelming. It's probably the most like city of extremes that I've ever been to in my life. Like, it does not do anything by halves.
Have you been to Vietnam before?
No, my first time. First time being in Vietnam, and it is incredible. It's so busy, it's so hot, it's hectic. There's so much to see, so much to do. I feel overwhelmed. I was like, oh, we're going to be here a month, I'll do everything. No, I won't. I just keep discovering more things to do and being stressed that I don't have the time to do it, which is ridiculous, but also classic me. But it is amazing. We've been here for a week and a half now, and we've moved into an apartment, so we'll be in this apartment for about a month until we move on. And it's been incredible. The heat. I hate that I complain about the heat because I'm always like, I love the heat. Will say, real feel of 51 degrees today was not
Nah.
a vibe. It was too much.
No, that's too much. That is far too much.
I mean, it is, we're living next to a lake. And I will say the pollution is significantly better living close to the water, which is partly why we chose to be here. The old town is amazing, but you leave just like, but I feel like my asthma's come back, which is not ideal.
Oh, God.
It's just so busy and it's so hot, so humid. Traffic, the first day, so my cousin lives here. This is some important context. My cousin's lived in Hanoi for 3 years now. And it's honestly been amazing having someone who's like a local who, but she speaks Vietnamese now. Like, isn't
That's so
amazing.
cool.
So amazing to see just the life that she has here. Like, I'm in awe of it. And on the first day, she was like, I need to teach you how to cross the road because otherwise you're just never going to be able to cross a road because there's traffic lights here, but they don't mean anything. Like, if the traffic light's on red, people don't give a shit. They still just go. So if you want to cross a road here, you just have to step out. And she's like, they won't hit you, they'll just dodge you. So you literally, every instinct in your body is
God.
screaming at you, and you just need to step out into traffic. That is the only way to get across the road. And people are so close and they're swerving, and there's about 10 lanes in a three-lane road. Today we went around a roundabout and people were driving both directions around the roundabout.
No.
Always, I say to my cousin, I'm like, would you ever move back? And she's like, I'm just addicted to the chaos. Okay. I mean,
love
it
her.
is
Love it.
like, it is incredible to see. I can't imagine being here like long term, but it is like nothing you've ever experienced before. The culture shock in every way has been quite a shock, I will say. I think it's been a long time since I've been anywhere like this. Probably like pre-COVID, since I've been anywhere like this. It is a lot of fun. How is moving progress?
It's all start of ki start. Oh my gosh, my words! It's all started to kick off a bit now because we've got the keys to the new place, which is really exciting. But I'm now just living in our old place, surrounded by boxes. We can't move into our new place yet because our furniture hasn't arrived yet. So, when you're kind of between two places, and I'm just on a mass clear out because we are downsizing slightly. So, like, we don't want to take anything we don't need. And it's amazing how much just crap you accumulate in a few years.
Yeah. Oh, it's that limbo. Yeah. That where you just want to be in place and not have to deal with all of this crap.
Yeah, like I don't really want to pack up our current flat because I love it so, like, if it wasn't for work, we wouldn't leave. But like we both love it. We're so pleased with like how it looks and how we've because everything came unfurnished. Everything we've done is like stuff we've done ourselves. So we don't want to pack it up and move. But equally, I'm like, I just want to get into the new place. So I've started packing today because it suddenly occurred to me that I don't actually have as long to pack as I thought I did. And so, yeah, it's just, but then there's just boxes everywhere. And I've got some dried eucalyptus sticking out of one box. And it's just not, it's not a vibe, but we're getting there. I'm very excited. And within a couple of weeks, we'll be settled into our new place and it'll be very exciting.
I'm so excited for you guys. And it does, your new place looks cute. Like, oh,
So,
I'm all about that style. There's,
oh.
for anyone who obviously has not seen photos, but there's green tiles and I'm obsessed with green tiles.
Green tiles and really high ceilings. So perfect for like people like us who are taller. The shower head is really high. I'm
Oh,
so
yes.
excited at some point for you to come over so that you can have a shower and experience. This shower head is so high. It's so exciting.
God. Love it.
And we get a garden. That was like the biggest thing to us. It's like, I was like, we can lose a bedroom if we gain a garden. So
Oh,
to
yeah.
have our own space to sit in during the summer, but also like we can grow vegetables, which I'm so excited about, and we can have some plants, all of those little things. So, but first of all, I have to pack up every one of our belongings, and it is amazing to me how much crap we've accumulated. So, yeah.
Oh, and I just feel like it's so easy to expand into the space you have.
Do you know what? That is so, so true. And I never used to understand when people said you fill the space you have, but oh my God, we've just hung on to stuff because we've had places to put it. Like I bought some photo frames about 2 years ago and I forgot to order the prints for them. And I found them this morning and I'm like, oh great. Okay. I'm so pleased that I have these two frames I've never used and won't have space for. Now I have to try and get rid of them. But me and Facebook Marketplace are going to become best friends.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to share your recommendation? Because I'm very excited to hear about everything you watched on the plane.
Yes. So I watched three movies on the plane.
Love.
Which, a couple of them, side note, have you watched Don't Worry, Darling?
No, I haven't, and I do really want to.
Very intriguing. I did watch that on the plane, the one with Harry
Okay.
Styles. And yeah,
Yes.
it was. Anyway, other conversation. I don't know if I'll recommend it, but I did really enjoy it, if anyone was wondering. But the movie that I'm going to recommend is The Champions, and it's the comedy that's come out. They described it as a comedy drama. There's not too much drama, but it's a 2023 movie, and it stars Woody Harrelson, who plays like a minor league basketball coach in the US, and basically he gets into a fight and he drives drunk and he's caught drunk driving and he's given community service, and his community service is to be a basketball coach for a local special needs basketball team. And obviously, like, he's a very insensitive character, and obviously he starts out by making a lot of assumptions about their abilities based on like their intellectual disabilities. And then he gets to know the team and he learns a lot about them as human beings and their interests are, and about their loyalty and their friendship within the team. The team itself is called Friends, like their basketball team. It's really
Aww.
sweet. And they're this incredible team who are obviously very, very, very different people and come from a lot of different backgrounds. But as he goes on this journey, he has to coach them for 90 days. You kind of, I guess, go on the journey with him. There's a lot of points where he confronts people who are, well, just downright rude or ableist, or certain things that the team come up against that are challenges that he obviously hadn't even previously considered as an able-bodied person. And the entire basketball team is played by actors who have disabilities that are the same or similar to the disabilities that their character has. And well, there's some common themes like romance in it, which it's not like the main theme of the story, but I think it adds to it nicely. But it's just probably one of the most heartwarming movies I've watched in a very, very long time. It really tackles big topics, but in a really easy to address way. And also it's just refreshing how diverse the cast is, to be honest, because I feel like that's something you don't see that often at all. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Actually made me cry, but we know crying on the planes is not indicative of whether something is actually a crying movie, because always cry on
Yeah.
the
I don't think I've got on a plane and watched something and not cried.
Yeah,
Like,
pretty much.
it's a long haul flight, I'm probably crying. That sounds amazing though. And I love Woody Harrelson. I think generally, as soon as you said his name, that's like a tick in my book of like, okay, this is going to be good. There's going to be something to this that's a bit more than just a nice movie. So really like the fact they've used actors who have the disabilities or similar disabilities to the one that they're displaying on screen. I think that's really important, because you always hear that ridiculous argument of there isn't anyone, there aren't any actors who have this disability who could play it, and you're like, there are, you're just not looking hard enough. And so I think the fact that they've sought them out is a really positive thing.
Yeah, I actually looked that up after we got off the plane, because I was like, I want to know that like they have actually gone to the effort to do that, rather than
Yeah.
just glossing over it. And yeah, it was really, really good. Definitely recommend giving it a watch. I'm not sure where you can find it. Also, I watched it on the plane. It must be on a streaming service somewhere. Probably should have checked that. If I find out, I'll pop it in the show notes.
Probably Sky Cinema or something like that.
I have this weird feeling it might be HBO. Not sure.
Ooh.
I'll have a look. What's your recommendation?
I am so excited about this. I've told everyone I know about it. I've not shut up about it. I am a full-fledged Tour de France girly now. Honestly, you've gone away
Oh
for
my
10 days.
God.
Yeah, I am obsessed. Because it was recommended to me by two people within the space of about a day or so, and then Alex got recommended it as well. So they were like, watch Tour de France Unchained on Netflix. Oh my God, I was hooked. Like, we watched it so quickly. I am so, and I should caveat by, I'm not a big sport human, right? It's just never been my bag. I didn't play sports as a kid, but as an adult, I really do respect athletes. And I've always been relatively interested in the Tour de France, because I can't get my head around being that sort of endurance athlete. Like, I am astounded by endurance athletes. We started watching it. Oh my God. Like, I'm now watching the Tour de France coverage. I was very excited because we started watching it last Sunday, and Tour de France started yesterday when we're recording this, the 1st of July. It gets to 7 p.m. and I'm there watching the highlights. I'm very invested in Jumbo-Visma. I am so like the Yates brothers with the final of yesterday. But basically, this is how excited I'm now getting about the Tour de France house. Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
It's so not me, but the documentary is phenomenal. So what it does, now I've finished babbling about how much I just love the Tour de France. The documentary is an 8-part series all about the 2022 Tour de France. And it starts from the very, very beginning, like the first time trial, and it takes you through every single stage of the 21 stages. And it isn't just a look at a sporting event, but like the people within it. Now, if you've never watched any cycling and you've never seen a cycling crash, I don't think there are many things more terrifying to witness. And the level of passion these guys have for the sport and like what they are willing to put their bodies through is phenomenal. And the family element of like an entire team, how they rally together, how they work so well together. It isn't a sport about one person. And it was just one of the most wonderful things. Each episode loosely focuses on a different team. And they've done it in a way where literally, if you go in knowing nothing about the Tour de France, you can come out being obsessed. Evidently, because I've not shut up about it. It is one of the, and again, this might seem like a personality quirk, I love a sports documentary. And it is one of the better ones I've watched, because you are engaged all the way along, and you kind of, they do a really good job of humanizing all of the athletes. So on the surface, you might think like, oh God, they seem like a bit of a dick. And then you get to know them and you go, oh, that's your story. And I love that sort of thing. But it's absolutely brilliant. It's on Netflix. I just can't stop raving about it.
Also, because I don't think I've even logged into Netflix in the last 2 weeks. I didn't even know this existed. So when you said you were recommending the Tour de France, I literally thought you were recommending the historic cycling tournament. I was like, are you serious? This makes a lot more sense now. And I didn't even
I
know that they had a
love.
documentary. but
I love that
I do want to
it's
watch
so
it.
ridiculous that I've recommended this, that you genuinely thought I might have just discovered the Tour de France.
Yeah, I honestly, that was my initial thought process, and I apologize for that. Clearly I was wrong, because I do now really want to watch this documentary.
It is. Do you know what? I've nearly texted you several times in the past couple of weeks to tell you to watch it, but then I thought you would have already watched it, and I did think we would have a double recommendation again this week. So I left it.
I didn't even know it was coming out, but like cycling is so my this is like niche, but I love my grandma for it. My grandma is a massive cycling fan. So right before we left for Vietnam, there was the Giro d'Italia race, which is a similar, like several stages, grueling cycling race. And I watched a lot of the stages with her at her house. And that is, God, I can't remember his name now, but I watched the British guy who was the like ahead, who was leading. Oh my God, I can't remember his name. He had a horrendous crash. He broke his femur. So obviously that means he's out for the Tour de France, the knock-on effect. And you saw like the impact on the team. It's absolutely insane. So yeah, that's didn't even know there was a documentary, but watch the Giro d'Italia. Now I'm going to watch this.
It's so good. If you have also become or maybe you already are a huge fan, but if you are looking to get into the Tour de France, ITV4 have a highlights every single evening. So you don't have to have something like Sky Sports, because whilst I'm getting into sport, I'm not about to start playing for Sky Sports yet.
I know.
But I'm just in awe of these athletes. It's absolutely phenomenal. And you just watch it feeling, when you see it, they're going at like 80 kilometers an hour down a steep hill with bends. You're just like,
Oh, it's terrifying.
it's the
Absolutely
sort of
terrifying.
thing where you go, God, if I have kids, I hope they never want to do anything like that.
So they just wear no padding. Like, I know they need to be as light as possible, but if you're on a motorbike going at that speed, you should be wearing leathers. Like,
Yeah.
it's insane.
Like, it is insanity. But it is brilliant. It's so inspiring. And the end, Alex and I both felt really emotional at the way it ends. Like, it was just fab. So definitely go check it out. And I feel like that leads nicely onto this week's topic, which is all about passion. Which, as a side note, whenever I hear the word passion, I just think of that like catchphrase or like tagline from Bratz Dolls from like the early noughties. It's like passion for fashion.
Oh my God, I was never into Bratz Dolls. I don't really. Oh, maybe it was on an advert. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely an advert as a kid, like I remember it. But that isn't why we're talking about passion today.
What? I want to talk about Bratz Dolls.
Mean, that can be a whole other episode if you want it to be, darling.
No, they creep me out. Weird. Anyway,
They are creepy. They are creepy.
do you want to intro now you've found your new passion for cycling?
Oh my God, this is the thing. Passion can come from anywhere. But we wanted to have a chat about it because I feel like there's a lot of pressure to find what you're passionate about. And when you're younger, it's like you should find your passion and then pursue it as your career. And not only is that not possible for everyone, but I think it puts a lot of pressure on you having to commit to something you love, never being able to change that and give it your all. And anyone who is really passionate about anything, regardless of what it is, will know that kind of flow state that you can enter into so much more easily. You get that enjoyment, that sense of fulfillment, and everything from it. And I think focusing on that and trying to work out what you're passionate about can bring you so much joy. Like, passion doesn't have to be your career, it doesn't have to be what you do every single day. It can just be something you really love, and that in itself is worthy enough to be fulfilling.
Yeah, I think there's two like really interesting ways of thinking about passion, because I do think it's easy to get wrapped up in the routine of life. And how often do we actually sit down and think about what our passions are? Like, what are we passionate about that really fulfills us and is really truly interesting to us? But then the other side of that is, like, I really, really hate the saying, like, love what you do and you'll never work a day in your life. Like, I don't think that that's a true mentality. One, because not everyone loves their job, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to love your job. Sometimes it's something that pays the bills and you're perfectly content with. It doesn't have to be your passion. Also, I think, and this came off the back of me seeing a subreddit about this, where someone said, for those people that went into a job that was their passion, is it still your passion? And most of them said, No, because I loved it so much, I worked hard and I got burnt out and now I hate it. And I think
Yeah.
there's really something in there about your passion being something that's more pure, that is just fulfilling for you. Like it's just something that you get so much from, and you find that flow state and you crave it or you look forward to it. And it doesn't have to, you don't need to know why it is your passion. It's just something that really brings you that joy. And I think when you look at it from that slightly more simple perspective, it sort of removes that pressure that you're talking about to know what your passion is.
You also don't have to be good at it. I think there's a real misconception that if you're passionate about something, you have to be great at it. And often, if you are passionate about something, you'll be better at it than someone who isn't passionate about it because you're probably dedicating more time to it and you know more about it. But I'm really passionate about going to the gym. It doesn't mean I'm good at it. Like, I would say I'm very passionate about beauty and makeup. It doesn't mean I can do a flawless makeup look and I could be a makeup artist. Like, that's not. You don't have to be good at the things that you find that joy from. And I think especially online, post-pandemic as well, I think in during lockdowns when we all kind of picked up these amazing creative habits because there was like nothing else we could do, those who really found a lot of joy out of it became really, really good at it. Some even monetized it and turned them into businesses, which is great. But then if you're not naturally creative, if you're not naturally athletic, if you're not quite good enough or as good as you want to be in the thing you're passionate about, I think it leads to you questioning whether you are actually passionate about it and whether it's something that you could truly say you are passionate about. I think that's a really sad thought that your ability might hamper how much you allow yourself to enjoy it.
And I think this is where the pressure does come from, because it doesn't need to be, your passion doesn't need to be what earns you money or what gives you stability, or it can be something that is so spontaneous, or it can be something that you loved as a child and you've kind of rediscovered again. I think it's easier to find common themes in your life that will lead you to your passion if you really, I think it's, I at least feel like it's easier now I'm a bit older and I can look at what my interests have been over the years, how my interests have changed, how my the themes in my life have changed, whether that's like podcasts I listen to or books I read or conversations even that we have on the podcast and the things that I talk about with friends. I think that's given me, I would say that I'm a lot more passionate about my health and my body
Yes.
and taking care of my well-being from that perspective. Does not mean I'm good at it. Most of the time I'm like absolutely disastrous at it, but it means I've just become more aware of what I'm putting into my body, what I enjoy eating, what makes me feel good, what doesn't. And let's say it's become more of a passion of mine. It doesn't mean that I'm good at it. It doesn't mean that I'm gonna monetize it, make a living from it, tell other people that they should do it. But I do think that also raises another important point, that your passions can change or lead you in different directions, and there's a lot of opportunity to be found there.
Yeah, I think the thing with passion is a really great way to discover what you are passionate about is to think back, like when you're a child and what brought you joy, right? But also, it can be something brand new that you never expected. All jokes aside, I feel very passionately about the Tour de France at the moment and generally about sport and respect. I guess I'm just in awe of athletes generally. But as a kid, I hated it. And I didn't hate it because of anything other than I thought I would find it boring. And I've changed as a person. Like it's been 30 years, I've changed a lot, you know? And so, you can find new things you're interested in, and you don't have to know everything about them. You don't have to be great at it. You don't have to have it in your everyday life. But I think that's what makes us really interesting as human beings, is finding out that someone has this passion for something you didn't even know about. And that's what adds like color to our lives. I know that sounds really kind of cliched and cringy, but I think it's really true. Because when you first meet someone, if they don't really like tell you anything about themselves, and then you find out that they're passionate about, I don't know, maybe it's about cooking, and like every country they go to, they do a cooking class or whatever, and that's what brings them joy. It adds a bit more of like personality to a person. And I know that sometimes it's a bit, I really like it as a question. I know not everyone likes it. Like, what are your hobbies and interests? What else are you interested in during a job interview? And I've had a lot of people say over the years, it's not relevant to the job. Why are you asking? Like, it's all of this sort of thing. Not in interviews, I should caveat, just like generally speaking to other people. I think it's really important because it gives you an opportunity to tell someone what you're passionate about. And I want to see that passion in people. I don't really care what you're passionate about. In that, like, I'll have a conversation with you, but I don't mind what it, you don't have to have the same passions as me. But it's that moment when you can see what someone else loves and what sets them alight. And I just think that's so exciting to see.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Like, I remember doing interviews at the when I used to work in publishing and speaking to my manager about this and her saying, like, we 100% keep this question in. She was like, I don't want someone who comes in and says, I don't have any hobbies or interests outside, like, work is my life, all of that crap. She's like, that means that person's boring. I don't want to speak to them. Like, I mean, that's a very, like, blunt way of putting it, but I think there's something really important in that, that it's not your hobby or your passion or whatever it is that brings you, like, fulfillment isn't necessarily going to serve you in any other part of your life other than the fact it's something you're committed to, something that brings you joy, something that you can show you've spent, like, a long time dedicated to and maybe improving your skills in. But I think to link it back to what you were saying about your, like, newfound love of the Tour de France, I think that more generally you've found an appreciation, right? And I think appreciation for those athletes and the incredible skills they have, the incredible endurance they have, that has played into your wider passion and appreciation that you have for people who perform sport and the goals you've wanted to have in the gym or in your own, like, health and well-being. And I do think then that's where the fulfillment comes from, because it's like stepping stones. Would you have had so much interest in sport-related things if you hadn't have gone to the gym, if you hadn't have had those health goals for yourself, if you hadn't have gotten more interested in other sports and other aspects of, like, sport documentaries? I think that's where the opportunity is, because it opens doors to something else that might interest you and might interest you and might interest you. Like, I think that's the cool part about it.
And I think what's really great is that when you know what your passion is and you're very happy to talk about it at length in any conversation, it encourages others to open up as well. Like, I've had some really interesting conversations with people, and I don't know anything about the area they're really passionate about, but they can tell me these things. And I think it's a really great way to bond with people, but also to just understand a bit more about them. And I think it encourages all of us to share what we're passionate about because we, like you said, we all get caught up in the mundane day to day, right? Like, we wake up, we have breakfast, we go to work, we come home from work. Like, it's very cyclical. But these are the things that make life a bit more exciting and a bit more interesting. And you can, I think, as soon as you start thinking about what it is that you are interested in, you're right, it opens up doors for maybe other things. Like, if you think, God, actually, I really enjoyed cooking the other night, I might try and learn a new recipe. And then that takes you to go, I want to try this sort of cuisine. Or actually, I'd love to grow my own vegetables. Or maybe I'd like to grow herbs in my kitchen. Like, whatever it is, it helps you to have that, like, sense of curiosity, I think. And that then opens your mind in terms of, like, pursuing that fulfillment, trying out new things that might make you feel great. But also, if especially if it's like in a work environment, I think it's so beneficial for a wider team for them to know what you're passionate about, and vice versa.
And I think it's really interesting there, that kind of excitement aspect, like something that makes you excited. I think it's whole part of following your passions and learning something new is because you're getting outside of your comfort zone, right? Like, you're trying something not necessarily new, but you're maybe trying to, I don't know, pursue your passion a bit more and develop some more skills or try that next thing, like you were just talking about, or do something a little bit differently. And I think it can sometimes feel, I guess, scary, because there's a lot of expectation from society about what you should be doing with your time. Also, that's that classic difference between, like, what's adrenaline because you're loving it, but, like, so much, like, versus the fear of being outside of your comfort zone. Like, I think the classic example is if you've always wanted to travel, but you feel nervous to travel, is it nervousness or is it, like, excitement about the possibilities and new experiences? And can you gradually introduce yourself to that by, like, doing an overnight stay nearby where you live on your own, or taking a like a trip within your country or to a nearby country, things like that, that I think it there's no like following your passions kind of on a spectrum, right? You don't need to go all in on something. You can try things that are new. You can give it a go. Like there is nothing wrong with doing that. And I think that exactly the same way that it adds more color to your life, it can do the same through work, through your hobbies, through your relationships with your partner, your family, if you share similar passions as well.
Yes. And I think that's a really interesting one you say about like passions with like other people and finding something that you have that like that joy from, especially if it's your partner. I think we all get into a habit of coming home, sitting in front of the TV, scrolling, which is fine. But if you can find something new or exciting that you're both kind of passionate about, that can be really amazing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe this will keep me accountable, but we've said we really want to start playing tennis when we move. Mm-hmm. I've never played tennis. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to play tennis. But it's that excitement because we've tried other things that we found really fulfilling and that like we're more passionate about our health and our wellness, like you were just saying. It's like that curiosity of, should we give this a go? And we might be crap at it. We might go twice and go, this is hell. I hate it. Never again.
But then you share that experience.
Exactly. And it's kind of that thing of, if you don't know what your passion is already, that's fine, but just explore it. Like treat it with curiosity. You probably do know what it is. You probably do have these things you're passionate about, but you almost, I think, whenever I used to think of like hobbies and interests, I would think of playing a sport, painting, playing an instrument, learning a language, like these very set things that almost we were taught at school and they're the things that you've carried on later in life.
Mm-hmm.
But that really isn't the case. And actually, I think you can find passion for so many things if you're willing to just explore it. Like maybe you're really creative and you go, actually, maybe I'll really enjoy flower arranging. And you give that a go. I just think there are so many things you can enjoy and be passionate about in life that we shouldn't limit ourselves.
And I think that's the flip side as well. Like you don't necessarily need to do it with someone either. I do think passion can be a really significant part of your identity and your independence. And see, Taylor and I work together and we spend a lot of time together and we have a shared passion for traveling. But we've also been very like conscious of making sure we have our own like separate passions and separate things that we really enjoy doing. And for me, that's like the health and well-being, it's writing, it's playing netball. For Taylor, it's beard and mustache competitions and being able to meet and compete. Like there's no way I can even be involved in that. How would I be involved in a beard and mustache competition? Like that's his thing, it's his passion, he enjoys it, he's part of communities where he meets people and makes connections all over the world, and we're meeting them here in Vietnam, in Australia. Like
that's so cool.
Yeah, and it's something completely different. Like, where would you ever think to do that? But I think that's the thing. If you have an interest or a passion or something that you're really excited by, don't let whether you know someone else who can do it with you stop you from just giving it a go. Like, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're like, ah, I don't like it. But you gave it a go, so you've answered the what if question. Like, what if it's amazing?
Yeah, also, I just think, like, a lot of us, and this is kind of different, I guess, but a lot of us are scared to do things on our own. But actually, if you're like, say you're really intrigued by doing something like Pilates, but you're like, I don't have anyone to go with, just go, because you'll be in a room with other people who want to give it a go. And so it doesn't matter if no one else gets it. Everyone else in that room gets it. And that's what's important. And I think that's really exciting. Like, I always think passion is, or like, and passion is a way to find people who think a little bit more like you do, who you might not normally encounter.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that.
It's just exciting, I think.
It is. And I think as much as it can feel like it's part of your identity, it doesn't mean that you have to already know what it is, or you have to have it figured out, or that it can't change over time. I think there's that excitement aspect should be a really key part in pursuing your interests and finding out what is really fulfilling for you.
Yeah, I agree. And we hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Hopefully it's inspired you a bit and we want to hear what you're really passionate about. So please let us know. And we will be back next Wednesday with a brand new episode.
In the meantime, stay safe and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.